Good morning. We're so glad that you've joined us again. Sorry for leaving you on the edge of the cliff this last time we were together. Andre and Susan Robitaille were telling us their story, that they were in love. There had been a physical relationship, and then at the age of 37, Susan finds out she's expecting a baby. Well, that wasn't part of the plan. And so what do you do now? So, Andre, she comes to you and says, I'm pregnant. That was a shock to you or not?
I suppose so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you ever really expect to hear that. So I'm one of those people who, when some sort of event hits that you're not expecting, I just kind of go into job mode. You just take care of what you have to take care of.
Okay.
You know, if someone got in a severe accident, you got to go to the hospital, well, then all the emotion dies,
mm-hmm,
and you
mm-hmm.
just go take care of what you have to take care of.
Okay.
I knew that about myself, but maybe didn't notice how much that I more or less did that in this situation as well. There was some of the emotional shock.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke to my mother within maybe minutes of finding out. Talked to an estranged best friend of mine briefly, just as a kind of confidant to talk it through. And then just did what you're, quote-unquote, supposed to do.
Well, there are several do-what-you're-supposed-to-do options. The world has an option. It's called abortion. And, of course, the emotional aspect, Susan, is different for a woman than it is for a man. And so you are probably going through a roller coaster of your emotions versus his emotions. What was that like?
Well, I was actually kind of excited. I mean, okay. I was 37.
Yeah.
So I had always wanted a child one day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how this was going to ever come about since I was famous for making poor choices.
Okay.
But I already had a house.
Right.
And I didn't think things through real well, which is probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just figured, well, now I'm going to have a little person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So abortion for me was, I never even entertained that idea.
Okay.
It wasn't even on the table. So
mm-hmm.
I was grateful to Andre for manning up. I mean, he was good about that. He really was.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, though, we had not even been dating a year.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't know each other.
Were you talking about marriage?
No.
Okay.
It
was just a physical relationship.
Correct.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was. So I think we both had a deep sense of responsibility.
Okay.
I think we had enough in common that attracted each other, like, you know, just being responsible.
Right.
So we're like, well, let's try to make this work.
Okay.
Let's try to make this work.
Now, when you say that in your mind, you're talking about getting married.
Well,
or not.
Yeah, I think I wanted to. I mean, I wanted to do the right thing, but I guess when you asked me about my emotions, there was a lot of fear there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was the fantasy of how this could be, and then there was the reality of, oh, wow, that means this person has to move into my house, and now I have to rely on him, and a baby, you know, there's fantasy in your mind of
sure.
how this can
sure.
be in
yeah.
reality.
Yeah.
So I think we just tried to, you know, in his apartment, he did not necessarily want to get married right away, but I found myself feeling ashamed, maybe, like, you know, I'd go to my appointments and I'd have to refer to him as my boyfriend, and
okay.
I was a grown woman, and I'd see other married couples, and they had planned this, and they
right,
were happy to
right,
be there, and
right.
I started feeling shame.
Did you ever go with her to her appointments?
Almost all of them.
Okay.
The ones he could attend. I mean,
yeah,
he had to work.
Yeah, yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
He was there for me in
okay.
that sense.
Okay.
But reserved. He was also very fearful. We were dealing with, it wasn't flowing very naturally. We have very different personality styles. I'm sure you may have even noticed here.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
yeah
he's
yeah.
a very serious,
mm-hmm.
Stern at times person. And
thoughtful. You're happy-go-lucky.
Uh-huh.
Never met a stranger. All that kind of thing. And
yeah.
Andre's going, I don't know about this, you know. You're a thinker.
Yeah. If I am, it's not working out so well. But, yeah, and I've gone into every relationship, maybe except for the first, like, high school relationship. I've gone into every relationship with one foot in, one foot out.
Okay. And that keep your options open.
Not so much options open, but always just trying to feel out, is this right? Is this is this the person that you could spend your life with?
Right, and right.
What I didn't realize at the time is that if you do keep one foot out like that, if you don't put everything in, you'll never figure out if it's the right person because you're not invested.
Right.
And they, even subconsciously, maybe can tell you're not invested.
Right.
So you just end up with me always wondering, well, is this right in the ideal that I built up in my head? And probably Susan at the time trying to overcome the opposite of that, which is someone who had invested and been hurt repeatedly. So my fear of getting it wrong, her fear of getting it wrong again.
Right.
And those two things, they just, even if those weren't there, it would have been difficult because of the personality differences.
Right.
With it, it became emotionally charged because every decision was, this is how it's going to be forever. This one moment
right now,
this is forever and how it's always going to be no matter what.
Right, right.
Picture like a warm front and a cold front coming together in a weather system.
Yeah.
Well, we know what happens.
Storms.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we decided, if, pardon the expression, we tried to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, you know? I mean, maybe the rest of the world wouldn't have seen this. When I gave birth, it was time to name our child, and I had said, listen, I need to know, before he was born, are we getting married? Are we not getting married? Because if we're not getting married, I'm not giving him your last name because I'm not having a different name than my child.
Right.
You know, like these old values are like those old family values started to become really important to me. And suddenly I was really feeling out of place.
Okay.
And like, you know, I'm thinking of my family of origin, like we all had the same family name.
Sure.
And when you're faced with these weird, and at the time I still had my ex-husband's last name, and I thought, oh, this is getting really ugly and strange. And so I kind of said to him, I'm like, well, so are we getting married? Are we not? And he said, yeah, we'll get married then. And that was kind of our...
After the baby's born.
Well, yeah, like right... Yes, we'll wait for him to be born.
Okay.
And then we'll go ahead and we'll get married. So because he promised me we would, we named him with our family name.
Right, right.
I wasn't trying to strong-arm Andre. I just, it was getting confusing.
Okay, okay.
At least to me. But the point is, it wasn't very romantic. This was kind of a business arrangement.
A business arrangement. Yeah, yeah.
Just wanting to try to make things normal as I knew how to make it, as awkwardly. And so we did. I planned this whole wedding. He's got a very large extended family. He wanted to have everybody there. So we had a lovely ceremony at the War Memorial downtown and people and the cake and the caterers and all that. But, you know, I can't speak for Andre, but I don't think his heart was there.
Okay.
And he kind of went along with it. It wasn't like we had this romantic proposal engagement. It was very methodical and robotic and I think because it was that way, he loved me, but this was not how either of us imagined any of this.
Right.
Just making the best of a situation. And our relationship reflected that. There was not a lot of harmony. We were getting to know each other. We were two very hurt people from our past. It was really tumultuous.
Who did the ceremony?
Oh, our atheist neighbor who had her certificate off the internet, you know, to be able to wed people.
Okay. All right.
This was not a religious...
well, you guys really weren't religious at the time, you know, so...
I tried to squeeze in a little about God and some of it, but...
I see. Okay.
I was too afraid of... offending people.
Right.
I mean, I was Samson.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. So you're now married, you have a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
things went from bad to worse?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the old demons from our past just came roaring up.
Because it's forever at that point.
Exactly, forever. Yeah.
And I didn't realize that, having ever been married.
Right.
When you're married, you're in it now.
That's right. It's day in and day out.
Yep. You know, beforehand, it's, well, if this goes wrong, you don't think it through, but in your head, like, oh, if this goes wrong, then it just will figure it out.
There's always an escape hatch.
And when you're married, the stakes are high.
Mm-hmm.
So you're tethered.
The difficulties got more intense. They weren't more frequent. It'd be hard to make them more frequent.
Okay.
It was every 3 weeks, basically in its entirety, from the pregnancy on.
Okay.
They increased in intensity afterwards because everything becomes, this is how it's going to be forever and ever, or until death.
That would be so depressing.
Oh, gosh, it was.
Yeah.
I was clinically depressed at a point. And
I
think it's called situational depression,
where
the description is that you've backed yourself so far into a corner of trying to sacrifice everything that you are that you run out of things, and then you just lay down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was medicated for a bit there.
Okay.
Our fights were wars. They were wars. And unfortunately, Andre grew up in a home where his dad constantly threatened divorce to his mother. And that was modeled. And so that became a defense mechanism for Andre. So it was this constant. We'd get in a fight. Anytime we'd have a little fight, it felt like the end of the world to him. And so then he's now, we need to get a divorce. And then I would go into panic and survival mode, like, oh my gosh, I've got this infant. Does this mean I need to go find an apartment today? I mean, it was just tumultuous. It was no way to live.
But I would even add to that a lot of the things that even started the fight to begin with were from Susan's side.
Sure.
It's,
pulling away.
It's more important because this is so, for her, the beginning of the incident was based on fear.
Right.
Which caused me to look at it like it was irrational because I didn't see it as forever and ever, which made my reaction to it irrational because now, okay, this is our behavior now forever.
Right, right.
And both of it was completely nonsensical, but it was...
But reality.
It was existence.
It was miserable. Yeah.
So how long can you live that way?
Well, that's a good question. This is where things began to turn for me in my faith. I turned, thankfully, I turned to Christ for help.
When all else fails, follow instructions.
Right. Finally, look at the instruction manual.
And my friends, we have run out of time again, so I'm going to leave you on the edge of a cliff again. Wow. What in the world is going to happen? Susan is turning back to Christ. Andre is going, Christ, what in the world? So join us again the next time we're together in a couple of days. Let's see what God can do. Until then, God bless.